This episode of the Front Page Podcast is brought to you by voice-activated Sync, the easy-to-use in-car connectivity system. Sync gives you voice control of mobile phones and MP3 players and features audible turn-by-turn directions and 911 assist, available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com.
On Friday's Page One, Russia banned grain exports for the rest of the year. That sent wheat prices soaring. The Senate confirmed Elena Kagan to the Supreme Court. The vote was 63-37. And a complicated financing deal that was supposed to help Denver schools until the recession hit and things didn't go right. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Russia banned grain exports for the rest of the year. A drought coupled with extreme hot weather and wildfires have destroyed 20% of Russia's wheat crop. Wheat prices had already jumped 70% on world markets this summer. They jumped another 8% after Prime Minister Vladimir Putin announced the ban. But Putin said the ban was aimed at stabilizing prices for food inside Russia. In Washington, the Senate confirmed Elena Kagan's nomination to the Supreme Court. Five Republicans joined 56 Democrats and two independents in supporting her. 36 Republicans and Democrat Ben Nelson of Nebraska opposed the nomination. The partisan divide was another sign of the increasing political polarization in judicial nominations. Ms. Kagan got fewer Republican votes than Justice Sonia Sotomayor did last year. At the White House, President Obama said Judge Kagan will make history when she takes her seat. It'll be the first time there have been three women on the high court at once.
For nearly two centuries, there wasn't a single woman on our nation's highest court. When Elena takes her seat on that bench, for the first time in our history, there will be three women. It is, as Ruth Bader Ginsburg recently stated, one of the most exhilarating developments.
For Denver schools, a financing deal is causing big headaches. 2 years ago, the school system turned to J.P. Morgan Chase for help with its underfunded pension fund. Denver signed on to a complex financial transaction, but now Denver's deeper in the hole. It's paid out $25 million more in interest than it planned. It's trying to renegotiate the deal, but that would mean paying J.P. Morgan and other banks $81 million in termination fees. Friday's Times has two stories that have to do with the ethics charges against New York Congressman Charles Rangel. The first says one allegation is he misused his office in connection with a center at the City University of New York that's being named for him. It turns out that other lawmakers have similar university endowments that also collect big donations. There's a Daniel Inouye chair at the University of Hawaii. Among the donations, $100,000 from a cruise ship line. It got help from Senator Inouye when it wanted to expand its ports of call. Republican Majority Leader Mitch McConnell awarded earmarks to defense contractors that had given thousands to an endowment at the University of Louisville. The other story says Rangel's birthday tribute next week was supposed to be the grandest party of the year in New York politics. But the gathering at the Plaza Hotel is becoming a painful public embarrassment. Some high-profile guests have backed out. When Mayor Michael Bloomberg was asked if he was going, he acted as if he didn't know whether the party was still on. Two new research reports suggest people could someday regenerate parts of their bodies, maybe even arms or legs. One report came from Stanford University. Researchers there deactivated two genes that suppress tumors. That let muscle cells in mice revert to a younger state to repair damaged tissue. We'll go inside Friday's Times after this.
This episode of the Front Page Podcast is brought to you by voice-activated Sync, the in-car connectivity system that gives you voice control of your Bluetooth-enabled mobile phone and most MP3 players. And Sync features turn-by-turn directions, 911 assist, real-time traffic and weather, music with the sound of your voice, and your text messages read aloud. All hands-free so you can keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com.
Inside Friday's Times, the Pentagon is asking the website WikiLeaks to, quote, do the right thing. The Defense Department wants thousands of classified documents about the war in Afghanistan taken down. Pentagon Press Secretary Jeff Morrell says last week's release of a six-year archive gave the Taliban insights into U.S. tactics and techniques. In the Netherlands, a deal to form a new government would make outspoken populist Geert Wilders one of the most influential figures. Wilders is an anti-Muslim politician who campaigned for a tax on headscarves and a ban on the Koran. The center-right Liberal Party got the most votes in recent parliamentary elections. It's hoping to form a coalition with the Christian Democrats. But both parties would have to rely on Wilders to pass important legislation, including austerity cuts expected to total some $24 billion. In Paris, the building where Marie Antoinette's death certificate was signed may soon be up for grabs. The French Navy is moving out of its massive 18th-century building. What's going to happen to the building is uncertain. It's been the operational headquarters of the French Navy since 1789. The Navy is building a new building in southwestern Paris. In this country, a follow-up to the decision overturning California's ban on same-sex marriage. Times reporter Kate Zernike says the ruling tossed a largely unwanted issue into the November elections.
Well, I think what's interesting is if you contrast this with 2004, when there was the first of the big gay marriage decisions in Massachusetts, and politicians rushed to embrace this, and it was really a defining issue for 2004. A lot of people will say this is what allowed Bush to win Missouri, was that there was a ballot initiative there that on gay marriage that drove voters to the polls on this issue specifically. What's interesting about this is that we haven't seen politicians rushing to talk about this decision. I think conservative voters have really decided this year that the economy is the big issue. They want to talk about, and polls show this, and interviews show this, they want to talk about fiscal issues. They don't want to talk about social issues. Tea Party absolutely wants to avoid social issues. Most of them are opposed to gay marriage, if you look at polls. But there are actually, as much as it's an older movement, there are young people in the movement who sort of, like a lot of other young people, are more accepting of this.
Times reporter Kate Zernike. President Obama toured a Ford plant in Chicago that used an Energy Department loan to retool and build a line of energy-efficient Explorers. He said the message was, don't bet against American workers and don't lose faith in American industry. In Detroit, GM Chief Executive Edward Whitaker said the company wants Washington to sell its entire stake in GM during the initial public offering. Whitaker said GM wants the government out. It doesn't want to be known as Government Motors. After the GM bankruptcy last year, the Treasury Department ended up owning about 61% of the company. The latest unemployment figures will be announced on Friday. They may provide a clue as to which of two top economists is more in sync with where things are going. Jan Hatzius of Goldman Sachs and Richard Berner of Morgan Stanley both predicted the downturn. Now Hatzius is betting on a slowdown in the second half of the year. That could drive up unemployment and raise the risk of deflation. Berner's forecasts have been brighter. He was caught by surprise last week when figures showed second quarter growth was only 2.4%. He'd been predicting 3.8%. That's our preview of Friday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page podcast to podcasts at nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end. At nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.